You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Good morning, guys. Can we thank the band for leading us? You guys are just so incredible. You guys can have a seat. If we've never met, my name's Derek, and I'm so glad that you guys would be with us today. We have a really special morning planned for you. In fact, we had planned to do what we call a family meeting. And we were going to do that after church and really inform you guys and update you on a lot of the vision and strategy and stuff that we're working on together as a church. But literally yesterday morning, as I was preparing breakfast for our elders, we were having a brunch, I thought to myself that there was something at odds, something that wasn't adding up. And it's this reality that here at Makers Church, we believe that the moment you walk through our doors that you belong here, that you are family, that you are part of us. And so I thought it doesn't make sense to do a family meeting after church because we are family and this is church. And so we're just going to do the meat. We're going to tackle the meat of the conversation that we were going to hold for after. We're going to do it this morning. Can we do that? Cool. We're going to do that, and we're going to wrap up in a little bit after that with our last core value. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to invite Katie Bala to the stage, and we could clap her up. She has been an amazing person on our staff. Come close, come close. She's afraid of this thing. Say hi.
Good morning.
So Katie has been leading our kids ministry for many, many months now, almost a year, 9 months, and as long as a pregnancy is. And so she's going to be stepping out to really focus on her three kids and her family. And so, Katie, we just wanted to bring you forward this morning before the church and just say how grateful we are for all that you've done investing in our kids' lives. It's been absolutely irreplaceable, and we love you. We're so grateful. Can we clap Katie up and all of the work that she's done? And we just want to say that the imprint that you've left in our kids and the imprint that you've left on our staff in this church has been just an amazing contribution. But the thing we're most excited about is that you really aren't going anywhere, that you're staying here, that you're continuing to be a part of our church. And we're so grateful for that. So we have some thank yous that we'd like to bring up for you. And these are some of our parents who are so grateful for all of your investment in our kids. So we call these our Makers Mamas. These are the Makers Mamas. Aren't they beautiful? Love you, Katie. Let's give her one more clap. One more. So the thing that we're excited about is that there's really going to be no gap in leadership in our kids' area. Miraculously, through a crazy kind of chain of events, many of you who have been part of us over the last several years would know Katie Bunker, another Katie. And through some really cool conversations and things, Katie Bunker, who's now Katie Harry, because she got married, they met at a church thing, really cool story. She's stepping into our kids' ministry. She's actually over there shadowing right now, learning the ropes. So we could clap that up, too. So like I said, we have a lot of stuff that we've been working on together as a leadership team, a lot of really great things that we're excited about that we want to get in front of you and share with you so that you guys could lean in and participate in what we're doing together as a church. And we were going to, like I said, hold this for the end, but we're just going to do it now. And then I hope if we have time, I'm going to wrap up with my mini sermon on our last core value, which is that we are unfinished. And I can't wait to talk about that. So we're going to get there. But before we get into all of that, we wanted to do what we're calling our family meeting. And this is, like I said, it's an opportunity to share with you all that we've been working on in really architecting and crafting what we would be as a church. What work would we accomplish? What could we do in this city and in this world? And I got to tell you guys, our team that has come together to lead us into the future is the absolute A-team. I feel like we could tackle the world with this team. And it's been an amazing time to dream together and drum up all of this stuff. And so I just want to share this with you. I'm going to stand to the side so we could all look at some of this content and information together. But as we go through the slides, I just want to remind you and refresh you guys as we've been going through our Makers series. We've been walking through our core values. This is our mission statement that's guiding everything that we're doing. Our mission is to make on earth as it is in heaven. We exist to help you, not just random people. We exist to help you live your best life by encountering God, growing your faith, discovering your purpose, and making a better world. I love what Sam said earlier when he was at prayer, that God would crazily and unmistakably use us people to do his work in the world, that we can participate in that is our greatest honor and privilege. And so we want to do our best to help bring about this kingdom that Jesus said is already at hand. But it's this already but not yet. It's this thing that's here, but it's still coming. And we're going to talk about that as we talk about being unfinished in a little bit. But this is what's guiding us and saying, we together as the church, we've got work to do. We have some work to do. So the next slide will kind of show some things that we hold core to us. This is what we call, it's a piece of our manifesto. These are declarative statements that are true about us as a church, as a body. We believe that we are made by the Maker, that all people are made in the image of God. And therefore, we are made to make. We share the same vocation with God. If God is the creator of all things and has made us in his image and likeness, then we too are made to make. God has gifted every single one of us uniquely and distinctly to make a contribution to the world that no one else can make. If you don't make that contribution, the world will miss out. We believe that at the core of who we are. We also believe that what we're called to do as the church is to be disciple makers. It's the last thing Jesus left with us. He said, go out into all the world and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey the things I have commanded you. This is the crux. This is the core of what we're committed to here at Makers Church. We are committed to making not only disciples, but disciples who make disciples. Disciples who are growing other people, that when you become alive in Christ, it is your vocation, your responsibility to help others come alive in Christ. This is what our mandate is. We also believe that we're called to peacemaking, that peacemaking is something that we want to not only be responding to, but we want to be at the forefront. We want to be at the front lines of bringing about peace in the city and in this world. We don't want to run from the chaos. We want to run to the chaos. We want to step into the fray as a church. We want to step into all the controversy that there is. We want to step into all of the hurt and all of the pain that there is. And together, we can do that and bring hope and bring love and bring life in all of the situations where it's missing. We also believe that through all of this, we'll be difference makers. That what we're called to do is bring about change, to bring about a difference to this world. And we can do that together. Every single follower of Jesus Christ is called and commissioned by God to serve the church and to seek the lost, that we are called together. This is something not that people with mics on a stage and people on church staffs do. This is something that every Christian, every follower of Jesus is responsible with, to make a difference. And the last thing that makes us distinct and unique as a church is that we really embrace this idea of being a tent maker, being tent making. What we mean by that is the Apostle Paul modeled it for us. One of the most prolific and most, you know, effective evangelists in all of time was Paul the Apostle, and he worked as a tent maker. He said he worked with his own hands so that he could have some sense of connection with and build some rapport with those who are outside of the religious circles. That Paul was very intentional that he would earn the right to speak by being in the marketplace and in the synagogue and in these places. I love the moment that Paul says he preached in the synagogues, that he was in the religious circles. And he also went into the marketplace, and he was able to be present there. But then he was invited in to the Areopagus. He was invited into the place that he did not belong because he had earned the right to speak. And what we mean by this is that we're currently structured as a staff where every single one of us on staff does not earn our living, does not make a living by working at this church. We all have jobs in the marketplace, in the world. I work as a fireman. Mark works as a web designer. We have teachers. We have filmmakers. We have all sorts of different vocations represented on our staff. And we do this not because we can't afford as a church, which we can't, but we don't, it's not why we do this. We do this very purposefully and intentionally. People ask me all the time, Derek, when are you going to quit firefighting so that you could do this full time? And my answer is always, I'm doing this full time. You can't turn this off. This is something that we are called to do as ministers. And it's also something that you are called to do, is to give the same amount of your life's passion and energy and talent to the kingdom, to bringing it about. There is no separation or divide between church staff people and Christians in the pews. We are doing this together. This is what we mean about being tent makers, that we would earn the right to speak, that we would be great in our other spheres of life, that we would do good work so that we would be reputable and that we would have connection with people outside of religious circles. This is our manifesto. Here's some goals that we've set as we step into the future. What is it that we want to accomplish? And what are some goals that we want to achieve? And what are we actually counting as wins and losses? What are we measuring that would actually tell us whether or not we're living up to what we're saying? And these are the four things that we're measuring: crowd, conversions, community, committed. These are the things. What we mean by this, and we've attached goals, and so this is for the next year. By this time next year, I would love to stand on this stage and tell you that we've hit every single one of these goals. We count how many people come into our Sunday gatherings for many different reasons. One, because we want to be reaching people who are far from God. And if that's you in the seats this morning, we're so grateful that you're here. And we want to let you know that you don't have to stay far from God, that there's a community called Makers that loves you, that would welcome you in despite what you believe, despite what you agree with, despite what your fears and frustrations are, that we would tackle life together, that we would walk side by side together. And so we want to measure how big our reach is, how many people we are reaching, because if we're not growing as a church, then we aren't doing what God has called us to do, which is to multiply our impact. And so by this time next year, we would love to have a weekly attendance of 500. Right now, our attendance has been about 3 to 350, and we believe that by next year, this is an absolutely achievable goal. But this happens by us doing a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about next, but it also happens by you guys inviting your friends, inviting people who you know would benefit from being part of this community. And the other thing that we're crazy of as a church is we have about 100-person swing every Sunday. We can go from 3 to 500, or we can go from 3 to 200. Y'all are flaky as they all get out. It's crazy. And I'll tell you, just from a programming standpoint, is the hardest thing to plan for. You know, how many seats do we need to have for people? How many things do we need to put together? How many waters do we need to have outside? Like, this is why we measure and count this kind of stuff. It helps us plan for the future and for the current circumstance. The next thing that we care a lot about is carrying out the Great Commission, which is helping those become disciples, which starts with professing their faith through baptism. And we would love to start doing baptisms quarterly again, and we'd love to see at least 20 people get baptized. Now, where do we pull these numbers from? Well, kind of from thin air, but kind of because we believe this is absolutely achievable. That if this is what we're committed to as the church, if this is what we're called to do, this is why we're here, then we believe that we could help people who are far from God come close to Him and make a public declaration of faith through baptism. And so we're really excited to get this going again and really, really beef it up a bit. We have this amazing new thing. We're going to talk about it in more depth in a bit, called Grow Track. And it's going to be the thing that is going to help you get to the next step in your faith. It will be our tool that we use to help you go to the next level. Wherever you're at in your faith, this will be the tool that helps you go deeper. So we'd love to see half of our new people by next year, half of everyone that steps foot into our door. Now, we would love 100%, but we just know that's not true. We're shooting for half by this time next year. The end goal is that everyone that comes to our church would step into this Grow Track thing. The next thing is community, people participating in and serving in community groups, being in community groups or serving on a surf team. We want to see 70% of the people who come here weekly connected and committed to the ministry, to the work that God is doing in this city. And then we want to measure who's committed. And we measure that in kind of four different ways: who's giving, who's serving, who's leading, and who's being commissioned as makers. And what we mean by this is that we would love to see about 15% of our people become financially committed to what God is doing here. Now, I know that seems like we're shooting low, but let me tell you right now, we have 2% of our church currently giving anything ever of what we have accounted. 2% of our church has given a dollar to the church. And that's a pretty low number. And so we would love to see those who are committed to what God is doing raised from 2% to 15%. We would love to see those who are serving continue to grow. 50% of our church we want to see connected in a serve team or serving in local or global projects. Leading, we want more people to step up into leadership. The leadership, there's no, it's not full. There's room for leadership here. There's room for people to step into their gifting and talents. If you have leadership gifting, we want you to step into that. We want to train you and prepare you and equip you to lead. And then in the next slide, we're going to talk about what it means to be commissioned as a maker. But we want to see at the end, everyone going through our discipleship process, we want to see 30% of our church come through that. That's a lot of numbers, a lot of goals. We'll bring them next year and we'll celebrate what we've achieved. But this is how we're going to do it. Okay, this is a simple, simple breakdown of how we're going to achieve this. You'll notice in our mission statement, it says that we long to help you live your best life through these four things: encountering God, growing your faith, discovering your purpose, and making a better world. These are the things that we want to call you to. We want to do four things and four things well. In order to help you and your friends and your family encounter God, we want to have amazing Sunday gatherings, which I think we already have, don't we? Can we clap up the band and the production team and everyone who just does an amazing job? We're going to keep doing amazing Sunday gatherings. We're going to keep getting better and increasing our excellence. But the call to action from these things is we want to invite people to follow Jesus. We want people to have a life-changing encounter with God. And this is what we want to celebrate through that. The next thing of growing your faith, we believe that all growth happens. We talked about this in our communal core value. All spiritual growth happens, not in a vacuum, not on your own. It happens in the context of community. We need each other as much as we need to be connected to God. So all of our care, all of our growth, all of our discipleship will happen in the context of groups. What we mean by that is both community groups and serve teams. They work to the same end. They are environments and contexts for you to grow and become your best self. And that's what we want to do through community groups. We also want to help you discover your purpose. Like I said earlier, we believe every single human being was designed uniquely by God to make a contribution to the world no one else could make. The problem is most of us don't understand ourselves. Most of us don't have language to articulate what makes us tick, what makes us go, what way we're wired. And so we want to help you along through that by helping you discover your gifts, discover your talents, discover all of what you were meant to do. And then using that knowledge, we want to use that knowledge to leverage ourselves and our community to make a better world. We do that through serving. We believe the quickest pathway to the heart of God is serving others with others. So we want to mobilize the whole church to serve the world. Two ways we'll connect you to that is to serve on one of our serve teams or to serve with one of our strategic partners. There are many, many organizations around our city and our world that are doing incredible work. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to partner with people who are doing amazing work, and we want to connect our volunteers with them. So this is the way this works, okay? Follow with me for a minute. We're going to introduce this new thing called GrowTrack. It's the blue line that's going horizontal. It's through this experience. This is the beginning point. We're going to launch this in a few months. It should help us achieve all of these goals. What we're going to do is after church, every single Sunday, every Sunday of the month, we're going to do GrowTrack. Right now, it's going to take place at the school where our kids ministry meets. It's going to be 45 minutes to an hour. Whoever wants to get connected at our church, go to the next step, is going to go to GrowTrack. There's 4 weeks. First week of the month, we're going to talk about encountering God at GrowTrack. Second week of the month, we're going to talk about growing your faith. Third week of the month, we're going to talk about discovering your purpose. Fourth week of the month, we're going to talk about making a better world. This will be a time to sit together and break down what all of this means and connect you to the next step. Is your next step to be baptized? Is it to get connected to a community group? Is it to discover your purpose through these assessments like Gallup's StrengthsFinder, Myers-Briggs, DISC assessment, all that kind of stuff? Or is it to serve? Where are you at in your journey? You don't have to start and stop on week one and end on week four. You don't have to do it 4 weeks in a row. We want to give people a quarter, 3 months, to kind of go through this process. And from that, we will be able to funnel you to the next step. Now, the next thing, in the next slide, will kind of show you how we see this all working together, okay? It's self-perpetuating. It feeds into itself. So our encounter God is the big catch. It's the big thing that we do, Sunday gatherings. This is what we want you to do. But we want to move you deeper. We want to move you closer through events like our Grow Track. That would be considered an event. Staff, or volunteer staff or leadership trainings and workshops where we help you understand yourself. Those would all be type of events. Parenting workshops, marriage workshops, that kind of stuff would be events that we would invite you to outside of Sunday. And then closer to the circle is growing your faith in groups. Groups of serve teams. That's the crux. It's the center of everything we're doing. And within those groups, we want to be able to connect every single person in our church to a one-on-one mentor, someone that they're going to walk through life with and grow in your faith. Now, once you get to the middle of that, you have not arrived. Once you get to the middle of that, it means you actually begin to come out the other end and start serving in all of these arenas. That kind of is a simple breakdown of what it looks like. But here's what I want you to hear. We don't want to make our structure and our systems and our things like the epitome and the catch-all for what we're doing. It's the value of all of this stuff that matters to us. What I mean by this, if you have a life-giving group of friendships that is deep and intentional, that's amazing. We don't want to force fit you into our structures. What we want to do is equip you in those friendships to have deep, meaningful, life-changing friendships. We want to help you go a step further. So we don't necessarily mean, if you want to know if you're winning at life, it means that you're in a community group at Makers Church. That's not what we want to measure. We're going to measure, do you have life-giving friendships where you can journey through life and your spirituality together? If you do, we want to equip you to do that. Another example would be, we believe the family unit is the kind of the first tribe that God gave us. And so if you're a parent in here, and you were parenting young children, and you feel all of this stress about structure, and like you're not going to fit if you're not doing this, that isn't the case. If you're parents and you have kids at home, we want you to focus on them. We want to equip you and resource you to disciple your children and grow them up in the ways of God. We want you to be focused on that. So that's kind of a couple examples of the way that would work. Now, how are we going to achieve all this? How do we do this? The next slide is going to show us a couple ways that we're going to get there. And the first way we're going to get there is by having an amazing team that is designing all this, architecting this, and carrying all of this out. And I want to bring the team out right now so we could clap them up and you could see who is making this happen. So let's clap them up. Clap them up. Corey, Mark, Patrick, Kristen, Jessica, Heather, Gil. Man, there's a lot of you. Rachel. Okay, Jamie, you guys, you stand here. This group over here is our elders. Staff is over here. Staff over here. Elders over here. Staff over here. Elders over here. Beautiful. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this is a good-looking bunch. Huh? So good. Now, a lot of great things, a lot of goals, a lot of things that we want to achieve, and I've got to tell you, and I said it before, I think that we could like solve all the world's problems with a team like this and a church like this. I believe that we could step into creating some of the most beautiful encounters and experiences in this city and beyond. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that this team right here is going to lead us to achieve these goals and even greater things than we could imagine. And in a little bit, after the gathering, we're going to dismiss you if you need to go, but we're going to do a Q&A. We're going to do a Q&A, and we're going to do a staff introduction so you could get to know our staff a little bit better. You could get to know what their areas of responsibility are and what they're working on. But I would love for you guys to stick around for that, but for the sake of time, I just wanted you at a minimum to see these beautiful faces and to know exactly who is behind the scenes, behind the curtain, working on all of this stuff. And from Rachel, who's in the green over, this is our new group of elders that are stepping into some really beautiful spiritual authority and responsibility in our church. And I'm really excited about that. We'll hear more about that during the Q&A. And this is our staff who's just absolutely crushing life. Let's clap them up, get them off the stage. And it has been so much fun to be able to put together a dream of what we could do in the city and then have an amazing team come together that I know can lead all of you. I want you to understand this is an us thing, okay? This is not a staff and a us. It's not like a them and us, or we're doing this together. It's not. I want you to understand that you guys are as vital to this whole thing as they are. And these are people that are just putting the hours in and the time in to create these systems and to create these structures and these values and these philosophies and these things that are guiding us as a church. And this is kind of the way our org chart looks, and that's kind of boring. But these are the areas of responsibility that we know are necessary to achieve all of this. Now, the next slide is going to show the other way we're going to get there is all of this stuff costs money. All of this stuff costs way more money than it should. But the reality is that there is an endless resource. There's an endless supply of finances in this world. The question is how is it being allocated? And for us, we sat down and we said, what have we currently achieved? What have we currently accomplished in the last 7 years as a church? And as we're turning the page, as we're creating the future and stepping into a new world, what does that look like for us? And if we had to answer the question, are we pleased? Are we satisfied with the work that we've done as a church? The answer would be, we're absolutely grateful for all the lessons learned, but we know we could do better. We know that we could do more. We know that we could do greater things in this city. And so we said, let's not even look at money. Let's create a plan. Let's create a strategy. Let's get the right team. Let's look at all of the ways that we could achieve this. And we dreamed it up and we sketched it out, and it was like, this is good. And then we asked the question, how much does it cost? And we did the math and we said, holy moly. And we looked at how much does it cost? And how much do we bring in every Sunday or every month? And there's a big gap between those two things. And so if you look at, this is the breakdown on the left. This would be our current operating budget, $10,500 a month. This is monthly, guys, going into ministry and missions. $30,000 goes into facilities and operations. I know you like those seats you're sitting in, but they are not free. We know we love the school that our kids are at, but it is not free. We know you love your free parking passes, but they're not free. They cost someone something. That's all of us. Our staff together, all of those people cost $23,000 a month. Like I said, our staff is bivocational. Nobody's making a living doing this. Everybody is making pennies on the dollar of what they should be making, doing the work that they're doing. And they're doing about 4, 5, 6, 7-fold the amount of work they would be doing for that amount of money. And then $3,400 a month is going to, we give as a church, we give to nonprofit partners that we believe in. Young Life is one of the organizations that we love and support. Any Young Life people in the room? Yeah. Colinette, we just had a team that went down to Mexico this weekend. Any of you guys go down there, give me a holler, a couple of you. You guys are still waking up. We give to that project down there. We give to a couple church planting organizations. We give to different entities that we believe in. So that's the way we're spending our money. If you look at that down arrow, that's what it costs us a month to operate as a church, $67,000. And this is including all those dreams we just talked about, fleshing out and bringing about all of the stuff that we want to do together. That's how much it costs us. What we currently bring in a month is that green arrow. It's about $29,500 a month, which leaves us at a $37,500 a month deficit. Now, next slide will show that in the next year, for the next year to get us to the place that we need to get, we're really about $300,000 short. Now, it's interesting when you look at something like this, because even though we've been a church for 7 years, we just hit the reset button and we're restarting as Makers Church. And what we realized is that this is a startup. That this is a startup, and that we believe that if we can actually be successful in these goals, that it's going to take care of itself. It's going to manage itself. Once we make fully developed disciples of Jesus, once we help people come fully alive in Jesus, that all of this is going to handle itself. It will take care of itself. But to get there, we're going to have to sacrifice together, friends. We're going to have to give like we've never given. We're going to have to be resourceful in ways that we've never been resourceful. And as we looked at this together, we talked as a team and we said, are we aiming too high? Are we dreaming too greatly? Are we being poor stewards? Are we asked all of those questions. And what we realized is we have a guiding set of values that guide our church. And Mark preached so beautifully on our third core value, which is that we are bold, last week. And if you weren't here for that, you need to listen to that talk because it goes hand in hand with what we're asking and achieving to do as a church. That we're going to be bold in our faith. That we're going to believe greatly that God is limitless. We know that we are limited, but God is limitless. And if we're going to dream and dare greatly, that God would meet us in the middle. But God isn't just going to make money rain from heaven. He's going to actually grow it out of us. That we are going to be the people who are going to produce the resources needed to achieve these goals. And we know that if we can do this, that we will make a difference in this city and that we together will make a better world. Now, how are we going to raise $300,000 to cover this deficit for the next year? Well, it looks like this. The next thing that we want to do, next slide, is going to talk about next step giving. Now, this is something new that we're introducing, and I think it's going to be really helpful for your life. Now, giving regularly to anything is not a normal thing for human beings. We are inherently greedy. We are inherently afraid of this lack of resource. We have scarcity mindsets often. And so to go from giving nothing to giving 10% of your income is just highly unlikely. And so what we want to do is challenge all of you to enter into what we call next step giving. Okay, if you're part of this church and you call this place home, we want to unashamedly invite you into a season where you will give to the next degree. If you are giving nothing, we would ask that you give something. If you've never given a dime to the church, we're going to ask that you give something. One time, recurring, you pick. If you've given something, if you've given one gift in the past or given something, we want you to discern, how could I give more? Maybe it's committing to percentage giving. I'm going to give 1%, 2%, 3% recurring, which, by the way, on the app, Makers Church, download it. It's the simplest way to give. I want you to give to percentage giving. If you're giving percentage giving and you haven't quite reached 10%, we want you to challenge you to step into 10% giving. And if you're giving 10% giving, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We want to inspire you and ask you, if you have it within you, give more as you feel led. But if we do this together, this is how simple as it looks. This is how achievable it is. There's about 350 of us in the room right now. If 150 of us would give $30 a month, it would equate to $4,500. If 100 of us could give $100 a month, then that would be $10,000. If 75 of us gave $250 a month, it'd be $18,750. And if 25 gave $400 a month, that'd be $10,000. And total, that would cover over our deficit that we're trying to get to. So this is how achievable it is. And we can move from being a church where 2% of our people are giving all of the money to cover what we're doing, and we spread this out amongst us. It's absolutely achievable. So I just wanted to bring this before you guys this morning and say that we have great plans as a church. We have great things as a church to enter into. We have work to do as a church. And we are so excited that we get to step into it together. And what we want to ask is if you would partner with us to a new degree, whether it's financially or once we get GrowTrack launched, you enter into it, whether it's beginning to serve at our church or beginning to step into leadership, we need you guys to become fully alive and giving of yourself to what God is doing. I don't think there's another slide. Let's see if there is. Thank you. We love you. So that's our family meeting. That's the nuts and the bolts that is the frameworks that we are going to use to enter into our future together. And like I said, guys, I am so excited about what we get to do. I've never had more fun leading this church. Never in the last 7 years have I had more fun, been more inspired, and have had deeper belief that God is not finished with us yet. Okay? I'm going to preach on unfinished for like 7 minutes. Can I do that? Because I just used all my preaching time for this. So we're shifting gears, okay? Everyone stand up real quick. Stand up. Shake it out. Give a big holler. Slap the person next to you. Sit back down. All right. Last core value of our Maker series. Few minutes, okay? Few minutes. We believe as a church that not only are we made to be generative, communal, and bold, that we are unfinished. Now, that's not an attractive word, is it? Because we love to finish things. How many of you love projects hanging over your head? Anybody finishing school right now for the summer? You've got finals coming up. You cannot wait till you're finished, right? You love to put that last period at the end of the sentence, at the end of the paragraph, the term paper that you're turning in, because once you do that, I'm finished. We love to finish. Have any of you ever successfully put together a piece of IKEA furniture without any leftover pieces? Impossible! But if you've done it, man, there's just so much satisfaction in that. Because we love to finish things. Any of you to-do people? You make to-do lists and you love to check off the box? You'll even write down stuff you already did just so you can feel better about yourself? You're like, man, I love it. I'm finished. How about when you clock out for work at the end of the day? You're like, I'm done. But you know what the problem is with all of those things? You're not finished. Because tomorrow's coming, and you got to go back to work. And maybe summer's coming, but guess what? You got to go back to school. And even when you graduate school, and you're like, I'm never in a million years going to go back to school, guess what you do? You keep learning the rest of your life. Because we're students of life. It doesn't matter whether you're in school or not. We are never finished. We're never done. Now, I thought after we had our second child, two and through, we're done. No more children. Guess what? We're not finished. We got baby number 3 on the way. Oops. I thought that we were done with diapers. But just when you're done with diapers, guess what? Parents, you'll know what this means. Daddy, I'm done. You think you're done wiping butts when diapers are over, but you're not. And it keeps going on and on and on. And no matter what you feel like you're finished with, you're not done. It keeps on coming in life. It will keep on coming. Sometimes you think like, oh, there's the light at the end of the tunnel. I could see it. And sometimes you're in a crisis. You're in a situation and you think, I'll never get out of it. And if I could just get through this crisis, if I could just get over this thing, then I'm going to be better. It's all going to be good. But what you don't realize is that light at the end of the tunnel, that's a train coming towards you, right? And now you got another crisis on your hands because it will just never be finished. And that's what I love about this core value of our church is we know that we aren't finished as a church. We know that we aren't finished as the body. We know that Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. But when he said it is finished, what he was saying is that our pathway to God is complete, but there's a whole nother thing that's just beginning. And when Jesus said it is finished, he said his work was done on earth, but he was just beginning his work in us. And we know that as a church, we believe that Philippians 1:6 is true. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. Now, we love that verse because it talks about completion, but it also says that he began a good work to you and that he will bring it into completion at the day of Christ. What that means is that we are stuck in the middle, that we are in the middle of what God is doing. Now, it's a bit confusing, and we live in this tension of 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. I love that verse. The old is gone, the new is here. Any of you guys ever say yes to Jesus and stay the same person? Is that just me? Any of you ever like come out of the baptism water, feel like life's going to be different and it's still the same? You ever live in that tension of, Jesus, I thought this was new, but I keep sinning in the same ways. I keep doing the same things. I have the same doubts and disbeliefs. Jesus, where's this newness? And what this proclamation is saying is that when we say yes to Jesus, it doesn't just change us overnight. All it does is it changes the way God sees us. God views us through the lens of Jesus, who makes us new. And it's a declarative statement about what he is doing, that on the day of completion, we will enter into the glory of God. But until then, we are unfinished. See, God is not through with you yet. He is not through with us yet. There's a difference between salvation and sanctification. Salvation happens at the moment you give your life to Jesus. It's about atonement. It's about a cleansing. It's about a way that God sees us. It's our pathway to being connected to God. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So when you step into relationship with Jesus, it connects you to God. But there's a difference between salvation and sanctification. See, sanctification is what God longs for us, to be made holy, to become like Christ. But this is not the product that we get. It's the process we enter into. See, we believe that life, as cliche as it is not about the destination. It's all about the journey. It's not about the product or about the end result. It's about the process. And I got to tell you, folks, you and me and we are works in progress. And when we become intimately aware of this reality, that we aren't finished, that God is working on us. I don't know about you, but man, that makes me feel better. Because sometimes all the time, I just don't add up. I don't belong on this stage with a mic. I should have never been entrusted with my beautiful wife. I definitely never should have been entrusted with children. And we mess up all the time. And if we live with this kind of mindset that says, I want to achieve, I want to have arrived, you'll never be satisfied because you never will. But if you know, I'm not done. God's not finished. Not only does that help you embrace your own struggle and your own self, but man, doesn't that increase the type of patience and grace we can exercise towards each other? Like husbands and wives, don't forget, your spouse is in process. Kids, give your parents some grace. God is at work in them. Church, cut us some slack as a staff. We don't have it all together. Employees, give your bosses a break. Like, we're all a work in progress. We're unfinished. But God is making us new. God is doing something. I love that Paul even understood this in Philippians 1:12. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love Paul. He says, I haven't got there, but I am not giving up. He said, I haven't got there, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hold on to it. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love that Paul says, I'm not there yet. Everybody say that. I'm not there yet. Say, I'm not who I want to be. Say it. I'm not who I want to be, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I want to be, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. See, we are in the in-between. We are in the tension of what God is shaping, what God is doing, what God is molding. And if we allow God to do that in us, if we allow us to see each other as unfinished, I believe that there's some great harmony and there's some great grace that can be exercised amongst us. There's another passage that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. What it says is that we could be saved. You could be saved. You could be in Christ. You could possess salvation and still be a mess. Amen? You could have it, but you got some work to do. It says work it out. What work it out means is actually to bring it to completion, that you participate in it. You don't just wait around and say, God, change me. No, you listen and you're obedient to what God is calling you into. You listen and you step into what God has for you. We participate with God in this transformation. Romans 8:28, I'll end with this. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. We love that verse. Anybody get that tattooed on their arm? You got it stitched into a pillow at your house. It's in some weird bathroom mural. We love that verse, but we hate the process. Any of you ever gotten done with like a Lego set? I play with Legos now because my son does. And you could see the picture on it, but you finish putting it together and it don't look like the picture? I hate that. You know, I followed the rules even. I don't let my wife see that. Like, you don't pull the rule book out in front of her because that's embarrassing as a dude. But there's these pieces. And I think so many times in our life we have all these pieces, the broken pieces, and we try to force fit them together. But we don't understand that it's not us who makes the pieces and the shattered chaos of our life come together to work together for good. No, it's God who puts the pieces together. It's not us who strive and try to attain that. It's God who's knitting this together. But it takes time. You ever go like, God, where's that good thing you're going to bring out of this? No, you're going to do it, but if you would have done it yesterday, I'd be appreciative. See, when you're in it, you can't see it. But when you look back, you can see that it's God who has knit those things together. God has used those things, the brokenness in your past, to bring about who you are now. Your wounds and your scars and your things that have gone on have shaped you. And if you'll let God, this is how it says you get that. If you want bad things to work together for good, you want the brokenness of your life to actually be used for something. You want to use the unfinished, broken pieces of your life to actually add up to something. This is what it says. Don't try to piece it all together and make something cool out of it. It's not what it says. It says it works together for the good of those who love God. Don't work at putting the pieces together. Just work on loving God. Don't work at putting the pieces together. Just work on loving God. I think the thing that messes us up all the time is that we try to circumvent the process. We try to get to the other side quick. We don't want to sit in it because it's uncomfortable, so we try to take the shortcut, take the short route, and we try to get through that before it actually can hit us or touch us. But sometimes it's actually not the shortcut that ruins it for us. Sometimes it's actually that we settle. It's cool to acknowledge, I'm unfinished. But you should never settle with being unfinished. See, the moment you say, okay, good. I'm never going to amount to anything. I got it. It means that there's no momentum, no progress. Don't settle with where you're at. Grab hold of what God has for you and strive for that. And the last thing that I want to close with is, not only do we want to take shortcuts through the chaos of our life, but so many times we try to take the shortcut to God. We say, God, I think I need you, especially when you're at rock bottom. But so many times we try to take the shortcut to God, and we go, God, I'm into you, but I'm not quite sure about Jesus. But the scriptures say time and time again that Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the only way. And so if you're here this morning, I don't want to miss the opportunity. If you're here this morning, you know that you're unfinished. You know that you've got a different life to step into and a person to become. I want you to know that you cannot do it apart from Jesus. He says that God will work all things together for the good of those who love him. So may we, as a people, move fast to Jesus and allow him to continue the work.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.